Docket with Dylan Honkoop on KGMI 790 and KGMI.com.
With us this half hour is local DUI attorney Jonathan Rands here on the Legal Docket. Welcome this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And you still have a lot to talk about with drugged driving. You know, we got into this summer talking about drug driving for a few different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't even think at that time we were thinking much about the legalization of marijuana. I mean, we touched on that, but we dealt with a bunch of different kinds of drugged driving. It was just kind of an overview of how this is dealt with. You did that course, too,
yep.
The A-Ride course, where you learned some drug recognition stuff. But now, the voters of Washington State are forcing our hand on this. We've got to talk about at least marijuana, smoking pot, and driving. You know, we talked on my show earlier this past while about what I-502 means now that it's going into effect. Talk about it. Let's dig in here of, you know, you've talked a lot, I think, and we've talked here on the Legal Docket, if I remember right, about the 5-nanogram limit of THC, the chemical in marijuana that is the intoxicant, I guess.
And I've had the question on another radio show. How much is 5 nanograms? It's 1 billion. A nanogram is 1 billionth of a gram. And, of course, the question from that show was, well, how many joints equal a nanogram?
Exactly, right.
And that's sort of an impossible question to answer because it depends on the strength of what you're smoking.
Yeah.
Or unlike alcohol, you can't really say, you know, one beer is equivalent to 1 ounce of hard alcohol is equivalent to 4 ounces of wine, and we know that it runs through the body at this particular rate. But maybe we're going to be able to get there with the regulation of the sale of marijuana, much like there's a regulation of other types of drugs. And when something's regulated and you know what the content is and you know how it's created and things like that, it becomes a lot more predictable. But right now, it's fairly unpredictable. And, you know, I think you know I have a lot of problems with this.
Yeah.
Well, it gets me tongue-tied. I'm so upset
especially
about it.
Especially when it comes to DUI defense. I mean, there's the law itself and the whole philosophical debate about whether or not people should be smoking pot, period.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to someone smoking pot or consuming marijuana somehow and then getting behind the wheel, it's pretty confusing. That's what I've picked up so far anyway.
It is, and what really rubs me the wrong way about this is whoever the initiative, the new approach, they were told that if this law was to have any support, they needed to deal with the DUI component of it. And as a result, this limit was born.
The 5-nanogram limit.
And I consider it somewhat of a backroom deal.
Who cut the deal? How did that work? I mean, what's the background?
I didn't pay that much attention to it. What I can tell you is that the attorney for the new approach, it's Allison Holcomb. We're friends. We go back a ways. And I initially started talking to her about this about a year and a half ago. She was reaching out to various defense attorneys and things like that and just explaining what it was. And I expressed the concern of what we have right now. And at the time, it wasn't necessarily anticipated that there would be a DUI limit when the new approach started getting rolling.
Because up until now, there's just kind of been no limit because it's an illegal substance.
Right.
Right.
And I also was paying attention to Colorado because about the time that this new approach started to happen, Colorado was in the works as well. And they were talking about a 7-nanogram, a 10-nanogram limit. And so one of the things I suggested or I talked to Ms. Holcomb about was, I'm concerned about supporting this initiative from my perspective based upon what I do because there's this potential per se law out there and it doesn't seem like anybody's really paying attention to what the limit should be based upon impairment. And I was assured that that may not happen, if you can ever get such an assurance. And so now what we have is this limit, and all I know is that it was set because the powers that be, let's call them, decided that this was the number that needed to happen. It's also set at I'm having trouble with my voice. It's also set at the age of 21 because the rest of the law really focuses that we're going to treat it like alcohol. The legal drinking age is 21. But what it does is rather than have a fair limit across the board for all drivers, it penalizes or it's zero tolerance for under 21. So, which is contrary to the alcohol statute, which at least gives a small limit for under the age of 21. 0.02, if you're right. If a minor operating a motor vehicle over the 0.02 limit is a minor or baby DUI, as we've talked about, up to the 0.79 limit. Not the case for THC. If you have any THC in your system at all, one nanogram, you are facing DOL sanctions. You're facing criminal prosecution under the DUI, D per se law now. And that's a little bit bothersome for me as well. If there really is no impairment at the 5 nanogram limit, what's the problem with that limit being set for any driver over the age of 16 or 16 or older? I mean, it seems to make sense to apply the law equally, but we're not. And that's just, like I say, another one of these problems. And what I talked to you about earlier in the summer as well is, well, if they do this, what's going to happen with DOL? And over the summer and while we were discussing this, the statute was rewritten. The statute was actually posted in the legal research of Westlaw, the Westlaw community, in anticipation. So if you pulled up all of the DUI statutes regarding implied consent and regarding convictions and limits and things like that, they had a yellow flag next to them. And the flag was going to indicate that legislative action was coming or was imminent. It hadn't happened yet.
Right.
Since the vote, it's now a red flag, and it says the statute has been amended. And that's because they had all of this already written in anticipation of it passing. Now, if it didn't pass, they were just going to simply take the flag away.
Yeah.
So now what we have is also an offshoot from this, which I didn't give it much thought a little while ago. So we've got DOL action as a result of positive THC or over the 5 nanogram limit for minors and or under age 21 or over age 21. What I never gave a lot of thought to, but did after the vote only because my mind was wondering, is what happens with a CDL? And you and I have talked about commercial driver's licenses quite a bit in terms of the 0.04 limit of alcohol, the criminal statute that says no alcohol in your system, and how all of that impacts a person who drives for a living.
Man, how devastating it can be for somebody who relies on having a CDL for their living.
Absolutely. And in the alcohol prong or part of the statute, if you're in your personal motor vehicle and you're stopped, investigated, arrested for DUI, and you give a breath sample over a 0.08 because you're just a regular person in your motor vehicle, having a CDL endorsement is now, your CDL becomes at risk under that scenario for disqualification for 1 year, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with being in a commercial motor vehicle. It's just the way that it works. You have your license, your personal driver's license suspended for suspicion of and giving a breath sample over an 0.08, and your CDL endorsement is gone for a year. There's nothing in the legislation that says that. It's just the way that it works. Just like the new law effective December 6 is silent on CDLs, that's a collateral consequence that is going to have huge impacts upon people, because if you're off for a while and you smoke marijuana over the age of 21 and you hold a CDL,
right,
and you're ultimately stopped sometime thereafter and there's the odor and it leads to an arrest, let's just say one thing leads to another, and you're over the 5 nanogram limit, there goes your CDL for a year as well. And potentially your career and potentially everything else as far as the domino effect goes. And that's something that I'm really curious to watch and see what happens in the next legislative session in terms of whether anybody catches it or whether there's going to be a separate CDL limit for THC, just like we have a separate CDL limit of an 0.04 on the administrative side of things.
But then there's the question back to the original issue of 5 nanograms of THC. Does that even make sense anyway? And 0.04 is that much lower than a 0.08 in the alcohol realm that we talk about so much on the show. If 5 nanograms, when we're talking about THC and marijuana, is already so low, are they going to have an even lower one? I mean, 2 nanograms? how low can this go?
Well, we might see a statute on the THC side of things for the commercial motor vehicle that's similar to the alcohol one, which is none in your system whatsoever. That makes sense. I mean, that's a law that I think you have a rational connection to. You're driving a gigantic rig down the road with 80,000 pounds pushing along behind you. You, just like pilots, you don't want anything in the system. The fact that we have an 0.04 limit for alcohol on the DOL administrative side is more of a, I'm going to call it a grace period in terms of its recognition that you, on the criminal side, you shouldn't have any in your system at all, but on the DOL side, they're going to give a little bit of leeway because there's no impairment, presumably at the 04 limit, but there is after the 04 limit. So will the DOL side of that set a limit or just go zero tolerance like they do for the underage 21? And it probably makes sense to have no wiggle room and just say, listen, if you're going to smoke marijuana, make sure that you don't have a CDL that's at risk. Or if you do, make sure that you're doing it under a situation where there's not going to be any questions about whether it's ever going to be in your system at the time that you walk into a weigh scale, because that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. With us right now, local DUI attorney Jonathan Ranz. Lots of stuff to tackle with this voter-approved legalization of marijuana. And a lot of people have been pointing out, and accurately so, this is not... People forget, you know, they make lots of jokes these days about smoking joints and stuff like that, but it's 1 ounce that's legalized for someone to possess and consume. And it remains to be seen exactly how that's going to be regulated, how people are going to get it. It's through the State Liquor Control Board. We've got a ton more to talk about, though, in terms of DUI when we come back here on the Legal Docket. Stick with us. Again, Jonathan Ranz with me right now. His email address is... available at jranzlaw.com. Go check out his website there. His phone number, 360-306-8136. Again, 360-306-8136 for his offices in Bellingham. We'll be back with more with DUI attorney Jonathan Ranz here on the Legal Docket.
The Legal Docket with Dylan Honku. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Cascade Radio Group. The Legal Docket with Dylan Honkoop on KGMI 790 and KGMI.com.
We continue now here with local DUI attorney Jonathan Ranz talking about marijuana. Now that voters, as I said earlier, voters have kind of forced our hands on this topic, you can't avoid it. A lot of people discussing what this is really going to mean and an area people haven't thought a lot about. But of course you have, Jonathan, is the area of DUI and drug driving and how many nanograms of THC can be in your system under this law if you're behind the wheel of a car. It gets complicated. You're pointing out some stuff, though, just over the break about grams and ounces. And this law makes it legal to possess an ounce or less of marijuana after December 6th.
Yes.
Essentially, but it gets kind of confusing from there. What happens? An ounce is slightly over 28 grams, but the law right now, before the initiative, has a 40 gram limit for misdemeanors. Explain some of that you were telling me about over the break.
Sure. One of the fascinating things about living in this country is it's a country that refuses to change from inches and feet until you're dealing with something like this, in which case everybody has to totally rethink things. Now you got to go metric. Fortunately, I speak metric.
Being a Canadian.
All right.
Yes.
But I do need a little help from my little online converter. So it is one of the times where I will look for some help. So 1 ounce equals 28.3 grams. All right. And the law, and again, in all honesty, I haven't read the whole initiative statute front top to bottom, all 28 pages. I've focused on the last 12 pages, which is DUI. But so we decriminalize or we make it legal to possess 1 ounce. 28 grams. Currently, the law is such that 40 grams or less of possession of marijuana is a misdemeanor, punishable in jail by a mandatory 1 day of jail, $550 fine now, and maximum 90 days and $1,000 fine. But if you're caught with it or if you're convicted of it, that's the mandatory minimum. It can all be converted to work crew as well or some other sort of, if the jail is found to be full. So my question in this is, where's the 1 ounce limit come from? Because if you've got more than 1 ounce, so if you've got 29 grams, you're still falling within the misdemeanor statute of 40 grams or less. I guess the statute needs to be amended now to less than 40 grams, but more than 28.345.
Yeah.
So why not just make it 40 grams? I mean, it would be not quite 2 ounces. So where does the 1 ounce in all of this come from? And whose scale determines this?
Well, I mean, that maybe that's the new one of the new devices that's going to have to be packed along with law enforcement. They've got their breathalyzers. Maybe they need a scale to see, well, are you in possession of too much of this? Okay, no. But then there's no way to really test, other than a blood test, I guess, how much is actually in your system. Either.
But that doesn't matter under the carry law, right?
That's true. That's true.
And I guess what I was pointing out from this was, where do these numbers come from? And is this a good idea? I think that any steps that we can take to deal with what's perceived as a law enforcement problem or something that at this stage of our cultural development and mental status, that we can recognize, hey, something is just a bad law. And in fixing that, my concern is, have we made even worse law? And the collateral consequences under the DUI statute with the excitement and with the rush to deal with this proactively, I think is a problem. And it's a pretty good example of very good intentions, a very good leap forward in intellectual thinking and morality and all that other stuff that goes into it. But in rushing to judgment, if you will, and passing this, now we have something that may not work in the first place because of the whole federal overlap, and they've always got an out. But my question, and you know the answer to this, let's say the initiative fails and they take the out and they go back to the way that it was. But what's not going to go back to the way that it was? The DUI statute. It's going to stay. And I think it's going to stay, and it's going to be used as a model in the future, in our lifetime, and I've said this before, on your show and when Tracy was doing the show, I think in our lifetime we are going to see the law change on an alcohol basis of zero tolerance. Now, is that a bad thing? It depends on what your take on it is.
Well, if you've listened to the show any amount, you know that's a lot more complex than you might think, what it would mean to have a zero tolerance
and I think that
policy.
It has a good side to it because everybody's on notice. You drink, you have any alcohol in your system, you're setting yourself up for a DUI prosecution. Right now, the way that it is it's a slippery slope. We've got a limit of 08, but I don't even think that 08 limit matters anymore. I've got too many people that are 03s, 04s, 05s, and 06s, and they're over the age of 21, and again.
And they've been charged with DUI.
Charged with DUI, facing the full face of the blunt instrument of the criminal justice system. And really, that's what we're talking about when we're dealing with this perceived marijuana problem. We're using the criminal justice system as a hammer, as a baseball bat, rather than being delicate about the way that we're doing it and being a surgeon in the way that we fix things. We just simply set these limits, and if you're over the limits, even though they have no rational connection, you're going to get hit hard with the criminal justice system, which in theory and in law school and criminology, we all talk about how blunt of an instrument it is, and is social change good that way?
What are your predictions? What do you think is really going to happen with this? Do you think this, first off, do you think, at least gut feeling, I don't know if there's any more that it can be based on, this law will stand? That this will continue to be the case? That an ounce of marijuana is legal to possess in Washington?
We'll probably see it go up.
You mean the limit?
I'd like to see the 1 ounce become somewhat more rational to, I mean, we consider, if we're going to get rid of marijuana as a misdemeanor, let's get rid of the limit that makes it a misdemeanor and make it legal. Let's go to 1.33 ounces because that gets you to 40 grams. That possibly is going to go up, especially the more research that we go into. And it has no effect for, I mean, this law, it has effect on drivers. It has no effect on those that always take the bus, don't drive a motor vehicle.
Right.
I mean, hey, if your life is video games, Doritos, and marijuana, then you don't need to drive. Then you don't need to worry about the DUI consequences.
Right.
But, so I think that personal level will go up and probably should go up simply because from what I can see, it's a line in the sand that doesn't have a whole lot of connection to it.
What about the DUI part of this? What are your predictions?
Oh, it's staying.
It's going to stay at 5 nanograms?
For now.
Being the legal limit?
Yeah. I mean, there's probably there's a whole lot of research out there to show that it shouldn't be at 5 nanograms. There's research out there that shows that 08's not a good limit either in terms of impairment, but it's going to stay as far as I'm concerned. It's still going to come down to a battle of experts, as a person affected or not, and it's also going to depend on the dynamics of a jury when you're in a DUID trial like this and there's really no evidence of impairment. But I mean, you know, the person that says no thank you to all the field sobriety tests and then has a blood draw and they got 6 nanograms in their system, they go to trial. I mean, and it's yeah. Then the question becomes, do we convict simply because it's the law, or do we convict because there is impairment visible? And if there is no impairment visible, then what's a jury to do? And I mean, they always have the right to nullify if they want to.
Local DUI attorney with us right now, Jonathan Ranz, trying to figure out what in the world, just like pretty much everybody in the state. I mean, I talked recently with Whatcom County Prosecutor David McEachran. Mm-hmm. He was trying to figure out what's going on. A lot of you in the, you know, lawyers, attorneys, the law community are trying to figure out what's going on. Citizens are trying to think, what do I think about marijuana now? Maybe I was opposed, but now that it's legal, what's my stance on it? Maybe I thought it was a good idea before, but should I actually consume this stuff? Because what's going to happen with this law? Tons of questions. Thanks for being here and giving us the latest on this here on the Legal Docket. And if you do want to get a hold of Jonathan Ranz, his website, jranzlaw.com. His contact info is all there, plus a ton of other good resources. Any posts yet on the marijuana stuff?
Not yet. I'm rewriting some content, which I hope to have up in the next week. And of course, all of our shows are there.
Very good. His phone number, 360-306-8136 for his local offices, 360-306-8136. Jonathan, thanks for being here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
The Legal Docket with Dylan Hankoo.